שלום, אנחנו בשיעור בנושא לפתוח את השערים הנעולים.
Hello, we're in the lesson of opening up the closed gates, the locked gates. We're beginning soon in the first excerpt. You can find the study materials on our website, Kabbalah.info, or on the RVU system and the study materials button. You can also click on send a question, chosen relevant questions to the topic at hand, will be asked during the lesson. Opening the locked gates, Rav.
Yes, opening the locked gates from between us and to the Creator. This is our role, to precisely open the gates, not only for ourselves, but also for the whole of humanity, for all the created beings, for all the souls. This is what we have to think about everyone and care for everyone, and to be the representatives of everyone before the Creator. And in such a way, if we depict to ourselves the present state, let us open the lesson. Dudi, please.
So
we are reading from the document, Opening the Locked Gates, selected excerpts from the sources. Excerpt 1 from Zohar for All. Prior to being rewarded with inverting the desire to receive in us through Torah and mitzvot to reception in order to bestow, there are strong locks on those gates to the Creator. For then, they have the opposite role, to drive us away from the Creator. This is why the forces of separation are called locks, since they block the gates of approaching, of advancement, and drive us away from the Creator.
This is something we have to feel during the descent, the distancing, how much these forces with which we actually need to come closer to the Creator, first of all between us and then to the Creator together, how much these forces are still standing opposite us and blocking the path for us. But
if we overcome them, so they do not affect us, cooling His love from our hearts, then the locks become doors, openings, and the darkness becomes light, and the bitter becomes sweet.
Specifically, they invert these forces that were pushing us away, obstructing us, distancing us. They become the same forces that bring us closer, that open up the path for us, and bring us closer to the Creator.
Because over all the locks, we receive a special degree in His providence, and they become openings, degrees of attainment of the Creator.
Meaning the greater the lock is, the stronger it is, that it appears that we can't go through it, we cannot go above it, skip above it. So, when we succeed, we accordingly rise on a higher degree.
And those degrees that we receive on the openings become halls of wisdom.
Yes, that when we rise upon these states, we invert the bad to good, reception to bestow, distancing to mirroring, and then in those same things that were revealed, we also receive vessels for the light of Chokhmah, for the attainment of the Creator. This is how our path is. There are no questions?
Maybe we start with definitions of what is locks, what is gates, openings, doors.
This would be good if there would be in this some feeling. These are simply things that obstruct us on the path. The locks and also walls. There are many discernments. And I don't think that it's worthwhile to get into it. What I would like to feel, a disposition towards this, a deficiency towards this, to feel, well, emotions, that emotions will awaken, and not to engage in definitions, what are locks, what are the openings, and what are all these different states, because if we don't have opposite that, an inner feeling, it only confuses us. Kiev.
Good day, Rav. Good day, friends. He's talking about the cooling. I don't understand.
Because it's all inside of us, the locks and the openings. If my will to receive is constantly directed towards me, then it blocks for me the pipelines of the abundance. Because the light cannot come if I am in order to receive. If I invert myself to be in order to bestow through the reforming light, then it turns out that all of these pipelines that were blocked earlier so that I could receive through them bestowal from the Creator, they open up. Because I am now in equivalence with the Creator, in the same intentions, the same desires, and to that extent, then the pipelines open up. And through them, I receive the abundance from the Creator, the upper light. It then flows to me. And I begin to feel it. I'm being filled up. My desires, which are in order to bestow, now they are the desires out of which my soul is composed. And so my soul is filled by the Creator, by the light that comes to me from Him. And this is called connection or adhesion of man's soul with the Creator. According to the degree of how much he knows how to open up the pipelines that come to him with the light of the abundance.
Good morning. After yesterday's lesson and the day before, at the Ari, I received really this new sensation that really there are all sorts of secrets and gates, locks, that I suddenly received this sensation of distance, a gap. But on the other hand, as we learned, that everything is open today. There's no limitation. Can you explain this a bit? It's just a matter of time.
We constantly get closer. And in our nearing, we discover that how far away we are, and we advance. And again, how far we are, and we advance. That is, we can't take one step forward if we don't go through like a cycle, that a part of it goes back and a part of it goes forward. So this is how it is always in reality, because we are will to receive, and the will to receive has to prepare itself in this way for reception from above, and only after that it can receive the revelation. This is why there's nothing to be afraid of. We all advance, each one in a little bit of different style from the others, a different pace from the others, and according to how much he is incorporated in a general vessel. And so just patience, there's no more than that. If a person stays, even though he doesn't feel that he himself is doing anything, He is with everyone and he advances. And indeed, in our advancement, there are all kinds of stages along the way. Sometimes the stage is such that sit and do nothing is better. And all kinds of other things. So it's not worthwhile for us to make calculations with whatever we get. Such times or different times, these, those, all kinds. But the most important is to constantly continue like a train that is constantly going forward. And that's it.
Then, does this really have a connection to times, to periods of time?
Yes, of course. Of course there is.
הזמן שלנו עכשיו זה זמן טוב. זה זמן טוב. זה זמן שהיו בעיות וצרות.
What time now is a good time?
When there were problems and troubles for the people of Israel and the Kabbalists. And this is why it is a good time to also receive that new vessels and fillings.
And what is dependent? The turning the process from turning the locks to doors, darkness to light. Where do we get the beginning of the ability to carry this up?
In whatever degree, as much as you open up your heart, try more and more and more, more and more to open up your heart. Try to depict to yourself that you exist with an entirely open heart, opposite of friends and opposite the Creator. We're not talking about corporeal beastly things. We're talking about your intentions in your spiritual advancement.
PT 35.
How to open up the tubes of abundance between us for the light of the Creator?
That each one wants to help the other, and all of us together, when we connect in order to attain the state where the Creator can bestow to us. And by this, we aim to bring Him contentment from us.
The same abundance that we're yearning to.
What is the abundance? Well, it's not good that we yearn for the abundance. We need to yearn to give contentment. And in order to give contentment, since I have to receive from the Creator, so I receive from Him. But actually, it's just like the guest and the host. Even though he wants to eat, he stops himself, and only to the extent that he is capable of bestowing to the host, then he tastes whatever refreshment he has on the table.
Hello everyone, hello Rav. Rav, he writes, but if we overcome all the locks that they won't influence us, what does it mean to overcome the locks so they don't affect us?
That whatever I see before me doesn't stop me, but rather I work as usual in connection with the friends until the locks fall.
Rav, you answered Nessi that we need to open up our hearts. What exactly can you aim us towards? What's opening? What are we opening out?
That each and every friend, on the spiritual perspective, will not be more precious than I am for myself, will be more precious, and we will all be together in one place, meaning as one man in one heart. And in this way, we will advance. I have nothing else to say. It's a matter of feeling. There will be many words here, but each one should depict this to himself. You'll have to read it again.
בעל הסולם שמעתי י"ח.
Again, בעל הסולם, שמעתי 18.
גברה על האדם.
When a concealment overpowers a person, and he comes to a state where the work becomes tasteless, and he cannot picture and feel any love and fear in any way, and he cannot do anything in kedusha and holiness, then his only counsel is to cry out to the Creator to have mercy on him and remove the screen from his eyes and heart. The matter of crying is a very important and big matter. It is as our sages write, all the gates were locked except for the gates of tears. The world asks about this. If the gates of tears are not locked, what is the need for the gates at all? He said that it is like a person who asks his friend for some necessary object, and this object touches his very heart, and he asks and begs him in every manner of prayer and plea, and yet his friend pays no attention to this at all. And when he sees then that there is no longer reason for the prayers and pleas, then he raises his voice in weeping. It is said about this, all the gates were locked except for the gates of tears. That is, when were the gates of tears not locked? Precisely when all the gates were locked. It is then that there is room for the gates of tears. And then we see that they were not locked. However, when the gates of prayers are open, the gates of tears and weeping are irrelevant. This is the meaning of the gates of tears being locked. Thus, when are the gates of tears not locked? Precisely when all the gates are locked. Then the gates of tears are open, since one still has the choice of prayer and plea. This is the meaning of, my soul shall weep in secret. Meaning, when one comes to a state of concealment, then my soul shall weep, because one has no other option. And this is the meaning of, all that your hand and strength can do, do so.
Well, what can I add here? I don't know. It is so... it's written so well. In short, we have to go forward to try not to stop, so that nothing will pull us astray from the path. The path is only such that every step forward means to connect more and more upon greater and greater disturbances, and in this way to advance. And of course, here it's about connecting our hearts and our intentions and to be as close to each other as possible. And according to the degree of connection between us, we will also feel that we are coming closer to the gates, to the gate of entry to spirituality. It is all according to how much we attach ourselves to each other more and more inside of our desire, our intention, our actions. And this is how we will reach it.
USA Norwest.
Thank you, Rav. To reach the gates of tears, is that the final desired state? Or it can also be in the gates of prayer and continue in this manner?
No, That is impossible. It's not that you will now reach it artificially and start crying, but the gate of tears means, as he writes here, that all the gates have already been locked, and a person sees that he has no chance to take one step forward, so much so, and he nevertheless wants to advance, to get closer with the friends, between the friends and to the Creator, but he's not capable of it. Then he breaks in tears when he sees that he has no other means to reach that. And then he discovers that he has here before him one more gate, which is blocked, which is the gate of tears. And through his tears, specifically, when he has no forces for it, he opens that gate.
Belarus.
Говорится, что когда врата молитва скрыты, нельзя говорить о вратах слезы плача. И это понимается, что врата слез заперты. Вот обычно человек состоит.
The gates. Let's not clear his question. Usually, a person in a state of despair reaches the wisdom of Kabbalah. And there is a contradiction here.
Oh, this is how it happens? Yes. This is how it happens. I have nothing to explain here. We simply have to continue the way we're doing, just in a more intensive manner. And by that, we hasten the times. It is written that Israel hastened the times. We don't know what precisely needs to happen, but through our actions that we want to connect between us and to the Creator, by that we hasten the times. We accelerate the time, and whatever needs to happen happens more quickly.
Bulgaria 1.
Подскажите, плач это тоже разновидность отмены?
Rav, worldly. Crying is a type of annulment.
Crying, weeping, it's a response for the fact that a person wants very much, but he discovers that he cannot. There is the crying of a baby, which is the will to receive. Then he cries because he cannot receive, he can't feel his will to receive. And here, it's the opposite kind of crying, that he wants to reach the will to bestow and is not capable of discovering the will to bestow and is not capable of not capable of using it in order to bestow. This is why he cries. And this is why the gates open. To bestow both to the friends and also to the Creator.
PT 30. Regarding the gates of tears, is it a one-time gate that we pass on the entrance to spirituality and that's it, or each degree there's a new one?
It's one time. It's just one time.
I wanted to ask, what is the role of all the restrictions that are placed on the person on the path to adhesion?
These are not limitations. These are forces that direct us. They direct us to the Creator. These are not limitations. It's like you have traffic signs on the road without which you wouldn't reach the right place or with safety, etc.
Okay, so why, like, there are gates that are locked, there are difficulties, obstacles?
All of these things exist inside of us because we have to invert
the will to receive, to be in order to bestow. And so all of these traffic signs, obstacles, gates that exist on our path, it's in order to format, I would say, our will to receive so that it will be in order to bestow. A bit more, a bit less, right, left, in all kinds of forms, these and those, etc. This is what the path does, makes the path upon our will to receive. And so when we go through the path, it turns out that we change significantly. Our desires, our intentions, they change, and we already reach gradually on the path, we reach the form of Adam, similar to the Creator. We start as a wild man, some kind of mountain of black egoistic substance, and gradually, along the path, we go through all kinds of pipelines and gates and limitations, and then we take on a form that resembles the Creator.
So, where are they all pointing me towards? Where are they taking me?
The traffic signs point to our will to receive. Each time they give it a form of bestowal, just like you have flour and water, and you make out of it dough, and then you punch on this dough until it takes on a form of, let's say, bread, a pound of bread, let's say. And in this way, you need to organize the correct relation between the water and the flour and the right form of the dough. Then you have to put it in the oven, and then it's all ready for a feast.
So, last question, what needs to be our response when we encounter a gate, a wall? How to react correctly to all these obstacles on the path?
How to respond correctly to these obstacles or traffic signs, signposts? We need to see them not as a disturbance, but as assisting forces, because there is none else besides Him. Only the Creator operates, and He is the one who is guiding you on each and every stage to the right direction, specifically by standing before you and telling you that you need to go to a different direction.
To the
Si la porte des larmes ne se présente qu'une seule fois, est-ce à dire que c'est le maximum?
If the gate of tears appears only once, does that mean that this is actually the maximum, the barrier?
The gate of tears. Let's say it's a barrier. We'll reach it, and then we'll be familiar with these matters. But in the meantime, it's not before us. We place this gate of tears by this that we are opposing with our ego to enter spirituality.
Brazil too.
Brazil too.
Good morning, Rav. How can I cry about lack of spirituality if I don't know how important our goal is?
Sichim la avod al ze.
You need to work on it. To learn, to read what is written, to work with the friends, to speak with the friends, how much, just how much the path is important, the goal is important, that there is no more in our life, that we are here in the middle of the universe, and there is no path other than that we will reach to the one force operating in all of reality, which is the Creator. And the method is precisely directing us to Him. Explain to yourself where you are and make the effort to rise above the degree of the beast to Adam, man. Otherwise, like with all the animals, that will be our end. Ita 1.
Caro Rav, sono gli ostacoli che ci manda il Creatore, che ci porta al pianto, o è aumentando il desiderio nella decina?
In life, the things we see in life, are these obstacles the Creator sends us, or is it that the will to receive grows and grows and we won't be stalled? This is what we lack?
Gam ve gam.
Also and also. Both.
Beersheba.
Good morning, Rav. Good morning, World 10. With your permission, Rav, is the gate of tears built by the Creator opposite all of the other gates so that we can go through and pass to the ability to change matter?
All the gates are that we use them correctly. They appear to us as locked. At first, beforehand, we didn't feel them as locked, but by this that we tried to get closer to the Creator, we saw that this is closed and this and that is closed, and only one gate is left, and that's the gate of tears. And when we reach it, we seemingly are already in the despair of forces, true despair and lack of forces. And then we have only one hope. Even doesn't, you don't have it, but rather it is such that we are before this condition that we have no opportunity to enter spirituality. And then we burst out in cry, in prayer, and then it happens. But you cannot reach the gate of tears before you pass through all the gates. And thus you need as quickly as possible to use all our opportunities to connect between us and turn to the Creator and to reach a state that we are incapable of it. But when do you see you're incapable? When you have used it in all the opportunities and all your forces.
From New York 1, how come the gate of tears is so important for the Creator?
Because then, after a person attains the gates of tears, he can turn to the Creator in a correct cry, request, and receive help from the Creator. And that's what the Creator wants, to give a person assistance. Because, of course, without the assistance of the Creator, a person cannot reach anything spiritual.
Again, excerpt number 3. And one is rewarded with everything only by overcoming, called strength. And each and every strength that a person elicits joins into a great amount. That is, even if a person overcomes once and then gets an alien thought, and he says, but I already know from experience that soon I will not have this desire for the work. So what will I get now if I overcome it a little? At that time, he
he must reply that many pennies add up into a great amount, meaning to the general collective account, whether to the root of his soul or for the whole public. Perhaps this is the meaning of the gates of tears were not locked. Sha'arei, gates, comes from the word sa'arot, hair, or storms, which is overcoming. Dma'ot, tears, comes from the word medamea, tearing, meaning that there is a mixture with other desires. And only in the middle of the desires, there is a brief moment of a desire to overcome toward love and fear of heaven. We're not locked, but rather that moment joins into a great amount. When the amount is full, the person begins to feel the spiritual clothing. This is the meaning of the importance of tears, meaning that even if he is in the lowest state and has base desires, but still he has the strength to overcome in the middle, meaning that from the point of his heart he yearns and craves the Creator, then that force is very important. French one. What is the meaning of tears in spirituality?
We just learned that a person, of course, is entirely of the will to receive for himself and the intention to receive, and he has no desire or force to do actions of bestowal, to direct himself to and the intention to bestow. But he makes the effort to do this, some actions of bestowal, actions of connection. In part of them, he may succeed. That's called on the level before spirituality, like in this world. He can connect with the friends and so on. But later on he sees that he's not capable more than this. And then in order to reach, to enter connection from between him and the friends and between everyone and the Creator, he needs greater forces, and he doesn't have such forces. And then he makes the effort this way and that, like a little kid that's trying to do every which way and doesn't calm down. And when he reaches a state that he reveals that he's incapable of working out with his forces for connection in his heart or mind, then he bursts out in crying out of despair. And when he reaches this, he also reaches a state where he sees that only the Creator can help him. And then he truly is privileged in this, that he receives the assistance from above.
Do we need to have tears so that our prayers will be accepted?
Tears,
we don't need to sit and cry. Rather, the gate of tears is called the gate that, like in our life, a person can burst out in weeping from despair, from this that he greatly wants, but also reveals that he cannot attain it. And that in such a manner, also, he is in an attitude towards the spiritual work, that he greatly wants to enter connection with the friends, connection with the Creator, and he cannot. Then he bursts out in weeping.
They
continue from Mark 39 and Sochi. How is crying, weeping, different than a prayer?
Prayer is revelation of the request. But revelation of the request that he is sure that he cannot help himself anymore, and he's entirely only dependent on the assistance of the upper force, that's called weeping. That there's a true lack on one hand, and the confidence that he cannot realize it himself, that's the other hand, and that brings him to weeping.
Can we use the gate of tears in order to open up the other gates?
That, yes, the gate of tears is all that we need to attain and to open up by our tears, by the recognition of our weakness, that we're incapable of passing up the gate of tears. By this, we reach a state that the gate opens up.
Why all the other gates are locked except for the gate of tears? Is that good?
Yes, that's how it needs to be. That I have no more hope at all in anything of my forces. I've reached a gate that I am praying, requesting, that I will have entrance to spirituality, and I don't have an entrance to spirituality. And then I burst out because I don't have any more what to do. And I burst out in weeping from helplessness, lack of hope, lack of direction, all is lacking, lacking, lacking. And then this gate opens up. But it won't help a person here that he just sits and cries. It needs to be not a corporeal cry, but an inner spiritual cry.
Two, regarding weeping and tears, are these simple emotional states of a person, like children cry, or is it something deeper that we have to work with?
That's not the weeping of kids or even babies and children, and not the weeping of a woman. It's the weeping of a strong man who's big and wise and controls himself, and above all this, he bursts out in weeping, meaning in attainment of the helplessness, lack of forces, lack of hope, which is truly everything has fallen from his hands, from his ability, and he has no hope of anything. And then he reveals before him
I don't
know how to say this here.
Bor shachor.
Tehom.
Like a black hole.
Yeah.
An abyss.
An abyss.
I just wanted to ask this. Tears can be found between the intentions of giving and then the breaking of not able to give.
Let's say also from that, I don't think we need now to pick at this. It's not going to help. The weeping is the summary of all sorts of efforts and actions and deeds, activities that we've done, and we've seen that none of this is helping us. What does help? Out of the point of the inner point of concentration of ours, to turn to the Creator and to truly demand of Him, to cry before Him, like a child that cries before his mother.
But why the actions that I make and everything that I do joins to this great account, what does it have to do with the public? I understand about the root of the soul, how it gathers a great amount, but why the public?
The general account, that's the meaning of the public here. Between the root of his soul or the public, because he needs through the root of his soul to fill the general public. And such each and every one, as we learn from the general arvut, the mutual arvut, that is as a law in the general soul of Adam Arishon.
Baltia 4.
Is it desirable that in each and every prayer we will feel the crying?
Weeping, crying, it's a sensation of a deep lack that's in a person. It could be that it's temporary and passing, but we cry. As much as we grow more and more in the wisdom of Kabbalah, we cry less, like in our life. And then we reach a state that we reach the gate of tears, that truly there we burst out in a true cry out of this that we greatly want on one hand, and it's entirely clear that we cannot attain what we want. And this status, the stand of greatly want and not capable, that is actually the foundation for the burst out, for the cry out to the gate of tears. That's the prayer.
Question.
I need to somehow to disconnect from this state. I'm in a state of self-reception, but how do I make a small effort to
limud?
Nonetheless, you need to think about connection, study and connection. More than this, you have no more what to do in spirituality. And then you'll reach a state that you are despaired and despair, and you'll have more and more weeping. Why don't I attain? Why don't I feel? And why? Still an egoistic type of crying. Then gradually, that's by the light that reforms. Nonetheless, it will change you, and you will reach a weeping that you will want to ask, and you'll ask yourself, why don't I reach connection? I see that others are connecting, they're closer to one another, and I cannot be like them, and so on. And then it'll be a different weeping for you on your qualities, and why you're not truly bestowing and getting closer to others and not helping them and not together with them, that you're like looking at them from your height, and you always have this sensation of distance between you and them, and your ego is manipulating you so much that you don't even notice. But each time you look at them from afar, through some glass, something that's separating between you, and you don't let them get closer, and you also cannot get closer to them, more and more you feel just how isolated you are from the friends. And in this manner, only can you begin to understand how isolated you are from the Creator. And that's how you need, nonetheless, to perform actions, how to connect to them more. Because in the extent that you are incorporated with the friends truly as one man and one heart, then in this extent
you're incorporated with the Creator. And you see that you're incapable. And more, you reach a state that you're incapable. And more will even be less capable. You thought that maybe soon you'll be capable, and now no. You see now that no chance. Then you reach the gate of tears. In each and every state, and there's many, many more states ahead, gradually you go on forward and getting truly closer to the gate of tears until you burst through it. And you reach. The main thing is, don't stop. It doesn't matter if you're doing correct works or not, correct actions or not. The main thing is, the more the better. As much as possible. Although, as Baal HaSulam writes, that it's better sometimes that a person sits down and does nothing, but whoever doesn't understand in the meantime, it's better that he does more.
Мы сейчас в течение урока говорили о слезах.
Throughout this lesson, we talked about tears. From what I heard, there are different reasons for tears. We said that a person wants to achieve spirituality and can't, so like a little kid, he starts crying. We also said that a person wants to attain spirituality, he put in everything that he could into it, and he's crying because he's out of power, out of strength. We also said that a person put in everything that he could, he turned to the Creator doesn't answer, so a person starts crying again because he gets no answer from the Creator. So these are all different kinds of tears. What are the real tears that open the gate of tears?
Maybe you can say that these are tears that come from the bottom of the heart. When a person attains his will to receive, that he can never reach any form of giving, bestowal, connection with the other, the feeling of the other, to any extent. Anything and everything he had before, when he thought that he was coming closer to the friend, touching the other, treating the other nicely, all of that, he now discovers that his nature is opposite from bestowal and is in opposite, infinitely opposite from the other. And that's why he has no chance to connect to the other, meaning to the friends. He never saw them so infinitely distanced from him, and the Creator together with them infinitely distanced from him, and he has no way of approaching them. That's the revelation of truth. That's the matter of the 50th gate, the gate of tears. We'll learn about it.
Можно еще уточнить.
Да.
Помните, вы рассказывали, вот как вы в отчаянии пришли к
Рабашу. I remember you once told us.
Он спросил, почему вы не просили, почему ты не просил.
That you came up to Rabash, you were all despaired. And he said, why don't you ask?
So,
once I'm despaired of my inability to attain whatever it is, so I have the formula of, why don't you ask? So I need to pray. So, am I not ruining the tears by the prayer?
Here, it means that if I pray, I discover what's in my heart. Not that I'm speaking of some words written in a book. A prayer means the work in the heart, where I discover the desires that are at the bottom of my heart, and I offer them to the Creator.
So the prayer doesn't stand in the way.
No, true prayer cannot interfere with anything. True prayer.
Because he is one and his name is one. Again, the door, Delet, is in the place of the opening when it's closed. In corporeality, you can see the door just as you see the opening. But in spirituality, you see only the opening. But you cannot see the opening unless with complete and pure faith. Then you see the door. And at that moment, it turns into an opening because he is one and his name is one.
No.
This won't help us now. You have to think about it. Maybe later we will see what it's talking about. PT
29.
When this kind of opening opens up, this kind of entrance, do you need to take some additional action in order to get in, or once it opens, a person can just go in?
The door opens, and you enter, and you begin the true spiritual work.
And
about something that you said earlier, a person that's engaged in the wisdom of Kabbalah, I understand that over time he starts crying less and less, and eventually when he already sees exactly what he wants and he can't attain it, then the gate of tears opens. Why does a person start crying less and less on the way?
Seemingly, when he has, when he can do something, he sees that there's something to do before him, a group, a ten, he has to connect with them, he has to understand, he has to know, to study. He also has to connect his work in the tent with the study. Meaning he sees that there is intellect and there's a feeling, and that's how he advances. So there's no problem. He doesn't feel himself only in the feelings of the heart, and then he cries. No, he has what to do. He's got work, he's got study, he's got many things he has to do with his brain, not only with the heart. And when he gets to a state where he sees how much he did not attain, and he is not capable, and before him is only the work and the intention to bestow, and it's impossible, then he breaks down.
So
it's the point where a person is despaired of his own powers.
Of course, of course.
When the gate of tears opens, and you're in a state of constant prayer, is that like adhesion to the Creator? Again, when the prayer of tears opens, is it a state of constant prayer or adhesion with the Creator?
when the gate of tears opens up, he begins to see before him the true work. True work. It's what we just read. Number four. Except number four. And the place of the door, the delet, that's where the opening is when it is closed. In corporeality, you can see the door, just as you can see the opening. But in spirituality, you see only the opening. And you cannot see the opening unless with complete and pure faith. Then you see the door. And at that moment that you see the door, it turns into an opening. Because he is one and his name is one. Since there are no two things from the perspective of the Creator, either one or the other, because he's also in the opening and he's also in the door and also the wall, where there is no opening and no door. Relative to the Creator, there is no difference.
Когда говорят о состоянии слияния с Отцом или о состоянии постоянной молитвы, как чтобы молился...
When we're talking about adhesion with the Creator,
там за воротами плач,
or a state of constant prayer where he prays all day long, is this a state that is beyond the gate of tears?
This opening by itself is called the gate of tears. Where you can cross it only after being despaired of one's forces and adhesion with your eyes closed, with the friends and with the Creator, as much as you can.
So we're reading from the writings of Bala Sulam, Introduction to Panim Meirot and Mesbirot, Item 16. You can ask questions live as always. So again, introduction to the book Panim Meirot Masbirot, item
16. Let's start.
We must know the nature of the two kinds of discernments customary for us. The first discernment is called discernments of good and bad. The second discernment is called discernments of true and false. This means that the Creator has imprinted a discerning force in each creature that executes everything that is good for it and brings it to its desired completion. The first discernment is an active physical force. It operates using the sensation of bitter and sweet, which loathes and repels the bitter form, since it is bad for it, and loves and attracts the sweet, because it's good for it. This operating force is sufficient in the still, the vegetative, and the animate in reality to bring there to their desired completion. Atop them is the human species, in which the Creator instilled a rational operating force. It operates in sorting the above second discernment, rejecting falsehood and emptiness with loathing to the point of nausea, and attracts true matters and every benefit with great love. This discernment is called discernment of true and false. It's implemented solely in the human species, each according to his own measure. No, that this second acting force was created and came to man because of the serpent. At the time of creation, he had only the first active force from the discernments of good and bad, which was sufficient for him at that time.
Questions up till now? Let's continue and then we'll circle back.
Let me explain it to you with an allegory. If the righteous were rewarded according to their good deeds and the wicked punished according to their bad deeds in this world, Kedusha would be determined for us in the reality of sweet and good. And the Sitra Acha would be defined in the reality of bad and bitter. In this state, the commandment of choice would come to us in the form of, "Behold, I have set before you the sweet and the bitter, and you shall choose the sweet." Thus, all the people would be guaranteed to achieve wholeness, for they would certainly run from the sin, as it is bad for them. They would be occupied in his mitzvot day in and day out, ceaselessly, like today's fools regarding the bodily matters and its filth, since it is good and sweet to them. So was the matter of Adam Rishon when he created him and put him into the Garden of Eden to work in it and keep it. Our sages interpret it. To work in it are the mitzvot of to do, and to keep it are the mitzvot not to do. His mitzvot to do were to eat and delight in all the trees of the garden. And his mitzvot not to do were to not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The mitzvot to do were sweet and sins and nice, and the mitzvot not to do were retirement from the bitter fruit that is as hard as death. Not surprisingly, these cannot be called mitzvot and labor. We find the likes of this in our present work, where through the pleasure of Shabbat, Sabbath, and good days, we are rewarded with the upper Kedusha, and we're also rewarded for retiring from reptiles and insects and everything that one finds loathsome. You find that the choice in the work of Adam HaRishon was by way of choose sweet. It follows that the physical palate alone was sufficient for all he needed to know what the Creator commanded and what he did not command. So, the complexity, I think, is a way to resolve it. In this Garden of Eden, there are different trees that you can eat from. And one tree, is forbidden to eat from. Our work is that in each pleasure, you need to find these two sorts that, you know, what you can and what you can't receive from the Creator.
There's nothing difficult here, because the scrutiny is in you, in your will to receive or in the will to bestow. Where in every turn, every action, every thought of yours, you have to use the power of bestowal, and you don't have the power of bestowal. So you ask the Creator to give it to you. There's no confusion in the work. Because ultimately, you have to scrutinize that you have no desire to bestow, and you turn to the Creator and ask for that, because you have nowhere else where you can get it from, only from Him.
And
what you can do is with things that are necessary for life. You're using, you're able to receive, and this is called neither condemned nor praised. Meaning, you need it necessarily in order to keep your animal alive.
So to live and sustain your animate body, and the example with all the other trees in the garden, that can you enjoy them?
You can eat from all the trees of the garden because in them you're working like an animal. And where you work as a man, the tree of good and evil, there you have a problem. You can't receive from it.
So the complication is in that you need to differentiate the trees.
That's our inner work. With which intention are we working?
So he says here, by way of allegory, that the wickedness of the righteous would have then been, well, etc., etc. In this world, we don't see that the righteous, they merit something, and that the wicked are punished. We see the exact opposite.
Maybe.
What does he mean here?
He says that if we could see in this world the actions of the righteous as good and the actions of the wicked as bad, then we would never make any mistakes. There would be no scrutiny.
Can I ask something?
Yes,
sir.
During these days, the days of the shattering, there's a feeling of heaviness. How do we use this opportunity?
I think that it's not simply burdening, but rather those are special days that are good for advancement. It's not a coincidence. It's written that on the day that the day of birth and the day of death are the same day. And it's written about the Messiah, and this day, the day the Messiah was born, this day the Messiah died, and so on and so forth. So don't pay attention so much to what's happening in these days, although there is a special illumination. There's a special opportunity.
So how do we use this opportunity?
We're doing it. There's no problem. If a person participates in the lessons and then wants to go over them again and implement them in his life, in the life of the group, then he can do it. He can do it.
Moscow 18. How do tears make the transition from the opposite to equivalence of form with the Creator?
The tears are when a person is completely despaired of his own powers, of his ability to attain something by himself. And instead he feels that he must fall, truly fall down before the Creator, and only with the help of the Creator, only if the Creator will do something to him, a special action of correction, only then he can transition from the feeling of this world to the feeling of the spiritual world. And he has no chance of doing it by himself. So that's what he does, and he crosses. He is ready to connect with the friends, he's ready to do everything, because he can see that the gate of tears means that he couldn't reach anything by himself.
Turkey one, how can we rely on our senses before we become a spiritual 10, especially if we're experiencing different emotions than what we see in our eyes?
But sensations we're talking about, that we have to reach a state where we have no chance of succeeding, rather everything comes from above. This is the correct sensation, and it will dominate all of us.
Are we capable of reaching a state of tears not out of despair, of becoming despair in our own forces, but out of our yearning for the Creator?
That's not enough. We need to reach despair.
By
wanting to reach something, that's not enough. When we're unable to reach something, that it's not in our hands at all, it's in the Creator's hands, and he's opposite and distant and all the rest, all of that, that's how it comes to us.
Why is the desire for love and the fear of heaven, why do they awaken only briefly? Can we extend their length in order to come out of the ego once and for all?
Try. It all depends on a person.
Is the broken gate a prevention on part of the Creator or on part of man?
Only on the part of man. From the point of view of the Creator, there are no gates or locks or anything. It's all inside a person.
So
chapter 14 explains that there were two restrictions in the worlds. Subhead, the first restriction was only on Malchut. And the upper nine were clear of any restriction. In the second restriction, the restriction intervened from Bina downward of every degree, and Bina, Tiferet, and Malchut exited every degree. Item 1. The siyum that was made in the place of Bina is called Parsa. We shall now explain the 10 sefirot called the 5 worlds, Adam Kadmon, Atzilut, Briya, Yetzirah, and Asiya. Here we must know that the two restrictions that occurred in the worlds, the first restriction was only on the vessel of Malchut, to not receive the light of Ein Sof inside of her. The upper nine sefirot remained clear of any screen and restriction. From this phase emerged the first 3 partsufim in the world of Ak, called Galgalta, Ab, Sag. After that, in that Partsuf, Nekudot of Sag of Ak, there was a second restriction, where the Malchut that ends the line of the light of Ein Sof that stood at the point of this world, ascended to the place of Chazeh, of Partsuf, Nekudot of Sag of Ak, and it ended the line of the light of Ein Sof there. And half of Tiferet and Nehim from the Chazeh of the Parsuf downward remained empty without light.
And
just as a new Siyum was done on the light of the line in general, in the place of the Chazeh of Parsuf, Nekudot of Sag of Ak, because of the ascent of Malchut to Bina of the Guf called Tiferet, so it occurred in the inner 10 spherot of each and every degree. Malchut of that degree ascended to Bina of that degree and ended the degree there. And Bina and Tum of that degree exited and exited the degree and fell into the degree below it. That new Siyum that occurred in the second restriction in the place of Bina or Tiferet is called Parsa.
No questions. Let's continue. Oh, Kiev.
Yes, the Rav, why Malchut rises to Bina?
Because he can't receive light below Bina. There are kelim there that there's no screen on the intention or to bestow. And therefore the Malchut restricts these vessels, not allowing the light to enter there because otherwise it will be received in order to receive.
It needs the light, and that's why it ascends to Bina?
No, I told you. The upper light can't enter these kelim that are beneath the palsa, below the palsa, because they will receive the light in order to receive. And therefore, the malchut rises to that place, not allowing the light to enter the vessels between Tiferet and Malchut. That's called the second restriction.
PT
32.
I heard, if I understood correctly, that the second restriction is the restriction of the first nine. Can you explain it?
No.
Tzimtzum
bet, the second restriction, is the restriction called Nehideak that happens beneath the taboo of Ak. And there, beneath the taboo, there's a difference between the vessels of bestowal and the vessels of reception. There's the parsa, which is the boundary between the two. The vessels above the parsa can receive in order to bestow the upper light. The vessels beneath the parsa cannot receive in order to bestow, cannot receive the upper light in order to bestow, and therefore, in the palsa, there is some kind of boundary not allowing the upper light to come to go beneath